Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the Gospel of John. Find the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. I'll be reading John chapters 3 and 4, taking some devotional pauses, thinking of some application at the end, and then closing in prayer. And I hope you do that right along with me. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Gospels. Thank you for what we learn about your Son and those around him, and I just need your help today to know how to apply your word to our lives to be closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." You probably know the Pharisees did not get along well with Jesus, but here's a Pharisee at night, probably wanting to meet with Jesus, but didn't want anybody else to know it. Verse 3, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things." So he's done this before, basically saying, listen, you should have known through the prophets. You should have known through the Old Testament that I was coming and that this needed to happen. Verse 11, "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So he uses this illustration that he would have been familiar with in the Old Testament of the brass serpent on the pole to talk about himself and what was going to happen on the cross. Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. By the way, it seems from further examination of the things Nicodemus says and does that he may very well have become a follower of Jesus. Verse 23. Now, John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salim because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one who you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him." Problem, Jesus, other people are doing what you're doing. Other people are doing what you're doing. To this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said I'm not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it's now complete. He must become greater, I must become less." So he's pointing to Jesus, who he's been prophesying will come. He's come, He needs to decrease and Jesus needs to increase. Verse 31, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who's from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Chapter 4. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. Okay, so that's important. Anyone who comes later and says, oh, baptism is everything. You got to be baptized to be saved. It's all about baptism. Well, Jesus wasn't even doing the baptizing. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So Jews and Samaritans hated each other. Men and women typically would not approach this way. Men would not approach women in this way. But of course, we're talking about Jesus and he had a plan. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." A little bit of a sidetrack there, right? He has called her out on her sins. So we're going to talk about religion. Woman, verse 21, Jesus replied, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." The big reveal. Verse 27, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went, went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" Jesus explained, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." Isn't that amazing? So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him." Then the father realized that was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Love reading about Jesus' interaction with his disciples, with others, religious leaders, non-believers, the miracles he does for a particular person to reveal himself and to preach the gospel. So what do we take away from John chapters 3 and 4? I mean, there's a lot here about Jesus. What is it that speaks to my heart? I think what really sticks out to me is what happened. The Samaritan woman talked about Jesus and what he did for her. Many believed because of that, that he was the Messiah. Then they met him and heard his words. And then they were able to say, "We don't believe just because you told us. We now believe because we've seen it with our own eyes. We've heard it with our own ears. This is the Messiah." I want to be one that points other people to Jesus through my preaching, through my life, through my testimony. Because Jesus does the work. God's Spirit does the work for them to realize the truth. And I want to be a faithful testimony to him. What about you? Father, thank you for your word, and thank you so much for this Gospel of John and what I read about your son all those years ago. Yet these things, Father, are still true. This message still must go out. It's our job to do it now. Help me to be faithful, Father, today, to be faithful to your word, to share your truth with others you bring into my path, that, Father, they would believe, that they would know you through your son. You have the power. You did it in religious leaders of that day. You did it in non-believers of that day. You did it in men and women and children, Jews and Samaritans. You can do it in the crazy world we live in today. I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.